God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the and I feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God His Son not sparing sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing He blessed to take away my sins. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. Amen. Sister, our sister Frida has a song. It's just burning in her heart, so it wasn't even planned. It's impromptu. That's how I like it.
This is an old believer song. If any of you guys know it, please feel free to sing along. Seven stars in the hands. Seven stars in the hands of Jesus were the messengers to each age. Now that seventh star has come and gone, and this is what he saw. He saw the bride come walking. Their gowns were white as snow. In their heart there was the Master's love. And on their face there was a glow. By faith we'll be in that number, the one God chose for his bride. As we daily live in this world below, one day we'll be by his side. He saw the bride come walking. Their gowns were white as snow. In their hearts there was the Master's love. And on their face there was a glow. And on their face there was a glow.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's take up our offering.
Brother Aaron, do you want to come help us take up our offering? We could maybe sing every praise is to our God, key of F.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this. Another time, Lord, to come into your house, Lord, to worship.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you've given us, Lord. And Lord, of all the blessings that you've given us, now we are able to return a portion of this back to you, Lord, to use for your honor and glory. Lord, we pray that you'd lead us and guide us in all things. Bless Brother Wade this afternoon, Lord, as he comes to bring the word. Lord, just anoint each one, Lord, that we may receive what you'd have for us, Lord, that you may have
yes,
for
Lord.
Us in this service. Lord, we give you praise and honor and glory in all things. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. Amen. As Brother Aaron passes that, let's sing this song, Every Praise is to Our God. Thank you, Brother Michael, Sister Frida, for the specials. Praise the Lord. Maybe Brother Wade can come out on this song. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is due our God. Every praise is to our God. Sing every praise once again. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God.
God my Savior.
Oh God, my Savior, God, my healer, God, my deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. God, my Savior, God, my healer. Yes, He is. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord.
Every
praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah
to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God.
Every praise,
every day, every praise is to our God. Oh God, my Savior.
You love Him today.
My healer, God, my deliverer. Every day, every praise,
God,
my healer.
You need Him for healing today.
God, my
He's here.
Healer. God, my deliverer. Every day, every praise.
Amen. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise. He's worthy of all praise. All glory to our God. And we know who He is. He's got a name. Jesus is the name of our God. Amen. God bless you. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you again. We pray that that your day is wonderful.
Amen.
Beautiful day. Winds blowing outside. It's been hot as everything the last few days. And I think the extended forecast said it's going to be like 79 Tuesday. I thought, man, this Georgia weather. If you don't like it, Brother Paul, wait a minute. It'll change. But, oh, he likes it. Yeah. You wait till he calls his brothers up there, you know, and it's 20 below zero and we're about 60 degrees down here. So, hallelujah, he said. That's exactly right. So good to have each and every one of you here. Good to have the two sisters from Brother Barry Coffey's church. That would be Sister Grace and Sister, man, Maddie, I need that. It's good to have them with us today, and thank you for coming. We sure appreciate having you here. They can take their visitor's tag off. They're not visitors anymore, so. We forgot to give you a visitor's tag. Sorry about that. You don't get it just for a few minutes because you're just part of us. So remember, Brother Aaron's preaching for us this coming Wednesday night, and Brother Luis will be August the 11th. And today we're having foot washing and communion, which is wonderful. We're going to have Bible study from 6 to 8 next Saturday. Camp meeting's been canceled. Brother Dale's house phone's not working, so call one of us. And also next Saturday during Bible study, Mom and Dad will be celebrating 63 years of wedding bliss together. So on Sunday, we're going to have cake and ice cream after second service for Nan and Pop for their 63rd wedding anniversary. So 63rd wedding anniversary. So, we're going to have cake and ice cream for that. If Sister Lisa will get the cake for us and the ice cream, we sure will honor that after second service next Sunday. Their actual anniversary is on Saturday. So we'll give them, some cake and ice cream to have. And then we'll talk about the Lord today of the anniversary. So, come and be with us in Bible study. It's just very informal for those of you that have never been. Very informal. We eat popcorn and drink coffee and just sit around and talk about the Lord. And downstairs in the, not up here, but downstairs in the big common room that we call it downstairs. So just come and be with us from 6 to 8, and you'll be blessed. We always are. So if you would turn your Bibles now to Hebrews, we'll continue our thought from this morning. Hebrews 9, verse 11. And then we'll continue our thought on the eternal plan of redemption. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you today for this honor and privilege that we have of standing before your purchased possession. Lord, it truly is an honor. There's not another office in the world that we would be attached to, Lord, except this one, and that's to talk to your people about you. Father, we pray that you'd be with each one, Lord, the ones that are not here, the ones that are sick, the ones that all the requests have come in, Lord, of the different ones. Bless Brother Donnie's church there in Tennessee, Lord. They had to cancel their service today. But, Lord, we know you're the healer. You're the one that takes all diseases as one. There's nothing, no bigger one or no little one to you, Lord. Cancer or any of those viruses, Lord, they're nothing to you, Father. We know where they came from. They come from the devil, and they're going back to the devil. And, Lord, you gave us a healing atonement that we can plead the blood at Calvary, that you took our stripes for us, Lord, that we don't have to go through this. Well, I pray, Lord, that you would just cover us over with that, Lord, and be with us, Lord, during the furtherment of this service. Forgive us of our many sins and mistakes that we make against you, Lord. We ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to, Brother Colley said he wasn't feeling very good. So let's bow our heads again. He's coming in the door, but dear Lord, we ask you to be with Brother Colley, Lord, and he said he had some little issues with his stomach, Lord, and cramping and different things. Lord, we pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, when he walks through that door back there just now, that they'll be gone, Lord. It's just the devil trying to keep him away from this service, Lord. Now we pray in Jesus' name that you'll condemn that thing, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Come on, Brother Colley, get up here. For those of you that don't know, Brother Colley's been with us as long as, about as long as this building's been here. So, not saying he's old, but he's been here a long time. So is Brother Darty too. So they're the two pillars that, like Terrence said, it just really don't look like a service without them two sitting right there where they're at. So we need elders. We like the young people, but we need elders to tell us, you know, give us something to reach for. And Brother Colley and Brother Darty, sure that. We'd say that about you if you weren't even here. So, amen. So, but Christ being coming high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. We're just family. We're just family. We're just family members. And that's what we talk about, our family. Our natural family probably worse than that, but our spiritual family is really, really good. You okay?
I'm okay.
Okay. All right. All right, if he says he's okay, he's okay. Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, and neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So he had to obtain it. It's like me and you. I was sitting there praying for Brother Colley back in the back. I was watching him holding his head, and I thought, man, we have to press through. This is a fight. It ain't a picnic. This is it. We got to press through. We press ourselves to the mark of the high calling. We press ourselves, brother. You look at Jesus Christ, he was the Prince of Peace, right?
Yes. Right.
He said, I don't bring peace, but a sword.
Amen.
Amen? Right. And we must press into the kingdom of God. We must use that sword. That sword's not going to be set on our side the rest of our life. We're going to have to use that sword, which is the word of God. We know that. So in Amos 3 verse 7 says, surely the Lord God will do nothing. I hope we see that. Now we've known, for us it's been in a message for a while, we've known this. But it really hits home to me that you really read this scripture. He's just not going to do anything.
Amen.
Unless he reveals it to a prophet first. If he can get it to a prophet, he can get it to us.
Yes.
Amen? Because there had to be somebody to listen to that prophet. Now there's a lot that do not, but there is a group of people that will listen to that prophet, because the lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Read Revelation 11:3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And you can be seated, and we'll read the other one. Thanks, Sister Frieda, for singing that song. She had said she had it there, and about the stars in the hand. But the Bible tells us the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So we're promised these things. We know that I'm going to fly through this pretty quick, so we'll just keep your hand on the button back there, because we're going to get to something. But yet this morning I had to background a little bit. We had some, I knew there was some that had not been here in a while, and we just kind of background a little bit to, I don't like to leave anybody out. I don't like to leave people that come into the service and don't know what you're talking about. At least they get something when you background just a little bit. And you know what? Background helps me too. Brother Dale says sometimes he background too much. Well, I don't think he backgrounds too much. I think he background enough to pick up, because you know what? It's the Spirit of God doing the backing up. It's not him. He's like me. He's wanting to get to the millennium or get to the future home, but God knows more than we do. So when we yield ourselves, we go back and they send people in here that are I don't say not believers, but they just hadn't been through a series or heard what was going on. So you kind of have to back up to pick them up. And then slow ones like Paul, we'd have to do the same thing for him. So, told you I was going to keep you awake. So anyway, so now we know that Malachi came and restored all things. It's okay. And restored all things and turned the hearts of the children to the fathers. I want us to understand and make sure we realize that it's turning us back. It's turning our ideas back to the faith of the fathers.
Amen.
Not to the Old Testament. Not to a Pentecostal message. Pentecost was good.
Right.
We don't throw Pentecost out.
But
we're not sitting under a Pentecostal message where this one's going to jump up and speak in tongues and this one's going to interpret. And you can't even preach. So see, what did the prophet of God, he told, even in some of those questions, remember the questions that the prophet was covering was on tongues and interpretation. Well, what if one prophesies? What if one speaks in tongues? And what if this one doesn't do this? And what if that? People were at, because you know what? They'd sit in services. You heard that one brother. He said, I've heard they get up and just start prophesying. It's like popping popcorn. They just start getting up and prophesying and you can't preach. Well, see, that's not what, and then Brother Brown says, well, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet.
Right.
All right. Well, that took care of that. And then he said, I think last Sunday or Wednesday night, he said, now you may have the unction to do what you're doing, but you can hold it.
Right. That's right.
Amen. So you can hold it. You can hold that. And some of y'all have been holding a real long time because we ain't heard any tongues and interpretations in the church. So maybe somebody will let loose one day. Do you do that in Brother Brad's church? No, I didn't think so. No shame. I mean, just saying that we're coming to a place, though, where we may need some of that. We may need some of the tongues interpretations and things like that. Because it's in the Bible. It's there for us to use. Amen. And like Brother Bram said, you lay under the spout long enough, you'll begin to do those things. But we're heading toward that. We're heading toward something that I believe is marvelous. I believe it's something that we're going to press ourselves into, and it's not going to be out of time. You can press yourself into something and it not be time for it. And see, that's what Brother Brown talks about, trying to do God a service without it being God's will. That's a wonderful message if you want to go listen to it. or read it. It's trying to do a God of service without it being the will of God. You'd be out of the will of God. So we've got to, that's why that when we come up here in the pulpit and when you're praying during the week, they have to coincide. They need to coincide with what you're praying for and what the preacher gets up and preaches. They need to kind of get together, and then it makes you listening better, and it makes me preaching better, or whoever's up here in the pulpit, all of us. Come what? Expecting that God's going to what? Talk to you. Not talk to your neighbor, but talk to you. Today you should be the only person sitting in the building. Because God's going to talk to you. He's not where he talks to this great big crowd. He talks to individual people. That's what we're talking about this today about the Gentiles. He speaks to the Gentiles. Sure, as nations, but he speaks individually by the new birth. He speaks to each person individually. And then we can have a gift of prophecy, a gift of wisdom, a gift of healing, a gift, all these different gifts of the 9 spiritual gifts. So if I get started on that, I'll never get on this again. So now we look and pull the chart back up if you don't mind. We got to a spot this morning that I wanted to get to, but if you'll pull that back up and we see that we talk about the church ages. We have a bride. We've got 7 church ages. Something's got to happen at the end of that 7th church age. Because remember, it's an event that happens. But remember, the 7th church age, or the time element of the church age, goes all the way through the millennium. Time element. Time does not cease until the future home. All right, so we're going to be, now that we are eternal people in our soul, we must what? We must transfer that into this guy. Because this is a time creature. This is stuck in 3 dimensions. This is not a spiritual being that you're looking at right here, but you look inside of me is a spiritual being. All right? Same way with you. And God's talking to that spiritual being. He's changing them first, putting that person in heavenly places, putting that person in actually not in this dimension. Amen? Your soul by the new birth has been raptured into heavenly places. That you've already been raptured because you've been caught up. But we're waiting on what? To wit, the redemption of this body, according to Romans 8. But that couldn't happen in any other church age, because like I said this morning, they were all operating under a closed book. Even John saw the thunders but couldn't write them. He just wrote the symbols. He wrote just the symbols of the seals. Right? Jesus preached them in Matthew 24. We didn't know that until the prophet of God came and the book became open. And when once the book became open, he preached the seals to us. And then he takes us back to Matthew 24. He said, Jesus has already preached them. Right? Now nobody ever knew that. Scholars didn't know that because the book was closed. Well, now the book has been closed down through church ages. Now it has been open because of the ministry of what we were talking about this morning. Let's go to Luke 17, verse 24. For the lightning that lighteth out of the one part of the earth, or heaven, shineth on the other part under heaven. I'll let them get to it. So shall also the Son of Man be in his day. So we've got to see a Son of Man ministry come here in, because he was through the seven church ages, but right at the end. Now remember, you and I are in that space of time right now of trying to realize, and I don't say figure out because you can't figure out God, but to realize that we're looking at judgment if we're not born again. But we're also looking at, we're all going to die physically if something doesn't happen, according to Luke 17, verse 24, going down to 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Then verse 30 said, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. It's always before destruction that the Son of Man comes on the scene and he's being revealed. All right? So he's come, not in the first church age, first three, four, five, six, but in the seventh church age, we had a prophet of God come, restored us back to the faith of the fathers, and then preached the opening of the seals, the opening of the thunders, and all the deep, deep mysteries of God that's in the Bible, not out of the Bible. It's in the Bible for you to read. It's just sometimes we read the letter of the word and don't get the spirit of the word. Amen? And that's what happened to man when they had all these other different denominational ideas. Everybody okay with that? But now remember, when Brother Branham came on earth and he started his ministry, it was in a healing process. But remember, he said that was just to catch the eye of the believer. Not in the years of preparation, not in the healing ministry. Because listen, that's not going to change your body. Now, it may temporarily give you a healing. You go through the prayer line, you get a temporary healing, and then you might get sick. Brother Branham said you could get healed today and get sick tomorrow, the same thing. Because it's a temporary healing, it's not totally all the way a full resurrection. Let's just say it that way. So when the prophet of God came on earth and he would tell the people their problems, he would tell them where they've been, tell them where they're going, and tell them what's happening in their life. Oh, I see you're a Christian because you have a familiar spirit, or I see this. He was looking at the soul of the individual. Because he had to see where they'd been. Because he even had to see their thoughts sometimes. He said, oh, you're thinking about a son. You're thinking about your husband. You're thinking about your wife. He was right down in the deep part of the person. And listen, that's what's happening today if you'll let God talk to you. Not that William Branham's here, but the prophetic utterance that he left us, because remember he told us we're prophetic people. And we only are going to hear prophetic things. Amen? Little Messiahs, he made us so close. But do we really believe that? You better believe it, because that's what this message is not here for the healing campaign. There's been healing since the beginning of time. But there's never been a body change like me and you are going to take it in a church age. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? Enoch took a body change, but that wasn't under a church age. I'm talking about inside that church age, somebody is going to stand on the earth, as the prophet tells us, and death is going to crawl up their sleeve, and they're going to just wipe it right back off. Now, when that happens, the dead in Christ are going to rise, because there's nothing to hold them. Amen. The reason they don't come back into this time period is, like I've told you many times before, why would you be in the sixth dimension, eternal, no taxes, don't have to go to work on Monday? Yeah, hallelujah, for those of y'all that work. Those of y'all that don't, you can remember that. Monday morning was always tough. Yeah, Monday's tough at the post office too, because y'all's bills come in on Sunday and we have to deliver them on Monday. But they don't have to worry about things like that. Some of you laugh because you have, never mind. So anyway, they're in the sixth dimension. Why would they want to come back here? Why? Why come back into this miserable world? Well, because one day they're going to feel a pull. And that pull is going to bring them into this dimension, because somebody's standing in this dimension that death has been destroyed from. Now you can take that as a fairy tale, you can take that as whatever you want, but there will be someone that will not be part of a resurrection. They will be the alive and remain. Everybody got that? Say amen. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13, if you'll pull that up please, that's where we'll start. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Asleep? They're not dead. They're more alive now than they have ever been. that you saw not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. So in other words, it's been confirmed. That we which are alive and remain. Now, as Paul was writing this, he was part of the alive. But now when he died, he became part of that them which are asleep. So alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Now, when was the coming of the Lord? It's now. I'm not talking about now. Remember, the coming of the Lord was 1963. Now, the coming of the Lord started when you got born again, whatever day that was. It's going to culminate, like I said before. We're not looking for a rapture. Rapture, 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 rapture. Well, it's not just going to, we're going to pull up and go in a rapture. Right? We got to have a resurrection first. We got to have a body change next. Then we're going to take a rapture. Rapture is a culmination of all those things happening. So what do we need to hone all of our efforts into getting the dead folks into this dimension, because death's been destroyed in this dimension. And you say, I can't do that. Well, we'll do your funeral. And we may have to. You might have to do mine. But somebody is going to stand on this earth according to the Bible and according to God sending us a prophet, because he's not going to do anything till he sends us a prophet. So he's already sent that prophet. We're ahead of the game, buddy. He's already sent us that prophet. That prophet told us what was going to happen. The Bible's already told us what's going to happen. And it's in this time period. That hones it way down. The honing of the bride, knowing who she is and what she's doing here. Not that we're going to die by and by. No, somebody's going to stay alive. Somebody's not going to be a part of that. Having to go to sleep. I don't want to say die, but asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And the denominational world, they're looking for, hey! They're looking for an angel with wings. Usually girl angels. There ain't no girl angel. Who had to tell us that? The prophet. So if you believe one, you got to believe that one. There's no angels, you know. There was cherubims in the Old Testament that had wings, right? In Ezekiel. That was cherubims. But regular angels don't have wings. Why do they need wings for? Oh, so they can fly. Yeah, right. So anyway, that's old wives' tale. That's what your mama told you, your grandma told you. That's what the world writes in a little book for you to read, you know, and it sounds so sweet and really nice that you got an angel there with wings, you know. But what is the shout, the voice of the archangel? We know that the prophet of God told us the shout was the message.
Yes.
Amen. And the voice of the angel was the voice of the archangel, the resurrection. And with the trump of God, we've heard not... We've heard all this. And the world's looking for it. That's why this catching away is going to be so secret. It's going to happen so quick, they're not even going to know anything about it. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's the rapture. We'll be caught up after the culmination of what? Change. Won't prevent them that come up out of the ground, the resurrection. We'll read the next scripture talking about together we're going to be changed and caught up in the air, be in the clouds to meet the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So let's read the next one. Behold, I what? Show you a mystery. It's so much a mystery, nobody knows about it but the bride. God sent the message to the bride. Not to the church. They have a message. They say they're going to go through the tribulation. They say they got to stand before the white throne judgment. Right? We're not. That's not even in the Bible. But it took a prophet to tell us these things. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Look at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. What is a trumpet? It's what? A message.
Yes.
It's something that is unique to you and me.
Amen.
Because there's all kind of sounds everywhere else. What if you were out on the battlefield back in the 1800s, 1400s, when they had no communication with cell phones or anything like that? They could be fighting 1 mile away. And how in the world are you going to, by the time you rode over there, you'd have some disaster going on. But if you had one guy with a strong voice and that trumpet made a certain sound and he hit that note, they knew either to charge or to retreat. And that's the same thing with me and you, folks. We've got to hear the certain sound of this message of the hour. Not all the other sounds that you hear. For the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Like I said last week, pay attention to that. Because remember, it had to be corruptible before it can be incorruptible. And it shall be raised incorruptible. People in the message believe, you know, or people in the world believe that this one's never going to show back up again, that we're just going to get a brand new one. Well, that ain't true according to that. Now listen, this one will be made new. Got it? But it's going to be the same you. That's redemption. Redemption's not replacement. Replacement is getting a new one. But redemption is what? Bringing up that which had fallen. And you can't be unless you, this has got to connect, or it should have said, and the dead shall be raised with a brand new body. It says raised incorruptible. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. In other words, you're connected to it. In other words, it would just say, well, we're just going to go to the store and buy another one. Right? It's not. You're connected. And look, aren't we mortal now? You're mortal. This mortal must put on immortality. We shall be changed. Right here. In this vile thing that your mom and daddy brought, and it's dying. Even the ones that have already passed on, they're going to bring their body up. Amen. And it's going to be changed. Okay? And it'll be new. Man, 20 years old? Well, some of you 20-year-olds are rolling your eyes. but us that are a lot older than that, yeah, I'm looking forward to that part. I was telling them, ladies, I'm 61 years old, and y'all are 12 and 14, so y'all... you'd really not. I hope you drove. Did you drive down here? Oh, because you're not 14. Goodness. But it's not hard for y'all to, you know, think, well, body change, you know. I'm feeling pretty good. You wait till you get my age. You got all these other brothers and sisters get a little bit older. We're looking for a body change. We are looking for a body change because it has to be a total resurrection for us to get out of the bed in the morning. Right? Feet. Get up. We get up and shift now. But now listen, on that resurrection morning, that won't happen. Boy, what a youth camp. And it'll be a permanent one. It won't be one that you go to and come back from. No, we'll all be young. Amen? For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. He's telling us what we must do. Is everybody okay with that? So the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible and we shall be changed. So what are we looking for first? Resurrection. We're looking for death to be destroyed in a group of people in this time element, in this dimension. And that's going to draw them out of that sixth dimension, which will be a resurrection, not only of us, brothers and sisters, but every saint from Paul all the way to right here. Amen. Boy, what a draw. You're talking about a third pull. Everybody wants to see a third pull. That'll be the biggest pull you've ever seen in your life. Amen. When all them dimensions start emptying up and the devil's going, where are they going? No, the devil's going, where they been? Because see, he can't get in the sixth dimension. That's one place he can't deal with. He can go talk to God for some reason in the seventh dimension. He can go talk to God. But in the sixth dimension, he don't mess in that. That ain't here. That's just God's kids and God's kids alone. What a mighty God we serve. If Brother Johnny was here, Sister Johnny was here, she'd say, what a mighty God we serve. Amen? Let's go, what? He preserved us. Even in our inadequacy and even in our corruptibility and all the different things that we are, He's preserved us. He's preserved, even if they pass on, he's got them standing there waiting. Brother Branham did not see dead corpse when he went to the sixth dimension. He saw people that were happy. People that were in the what? The prime of life. Well, why do we ever get afraid, folks? The only thing you better be afraid of is having a new birth. Or not having it. Amen? So now we're looking for resurrection. We're looking for then when the resurrection happens, we're looking for a body change. Because remember, we get changed after. Go back. Go back to 51. There you go. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So the dead's got to come out of the ground, even though standing here looking old. But that voice of the resurrection is not old. But when we're raised, then what happens? The prophet of God, thank God for a prophet. He said we'll be around here 30 or 40 days, right? Like the Lord Jesus was, 30 or 40 days. And then we're going to be caught up, which is the rapture, after the resurrection, after we get changed. Then we're going to have a culmination, or a rapture, or as the rapture, the word rapture means ecstasy, or pinnacle, or you know, something way up here. That's going to happen because all these other things have happened. So that's why this, you know, us as a church, we don't scream rapture, rapture, rapture. No, we need the voice of the resurrection. Somebody's going to have to preach the voice of the resurrection first. Then we shall be changed. Then we shall be caught up. Like in Revelations 4:1, watch this. Excuse me, Revelations 4:1. After this, after the church ages, after everything's happened, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Thank God for the open door. Amen. I had to have an open book before we could have an open door. Amen. And the first voice which I heard was it were a trumpet. See, there's a, you see trumpet everywhere. That's not confusing. That's a voice talking with me saying, come up hither and I will show these things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit and behold, a throne was set in heaven and one sat on the throne. Now that's, to me, that's truly, we know that's the rapture of the church. Now, after the church is raptured, then God is going to go shift to the Jews, right? We were covering that a little bit last week. According to Revelations 11, there's going to be two prophets come on the scene. Now, but we need to talk about this first. We need to look and see who goes in the rapture. So let's go to Matthew verse 25 and cover this right here. There's wise virgins and foolish virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now look, they all 10 was looking for a bridegroom. All right? Five of them weren't looking for a bridegroom and five not. No, all 10 were looking for a bridegroom. All right? And five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. Now why were the five wise? They had oil. The five foolish ones did not. That's, we're going to get to that story. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil. Now what's oil? Oil is a type of the Holy Ghost. Alright? They that were foolish took their lamps. And in other words, they took everything they needed except one thing. One critical part was what? What was it? They had oil. That's like a car with no gas. It's useless. But they had it. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Then all, listen, all 10 arose at the same time. They heard the same voice. They didn't hear a different voice. They all 10 heard the same voice. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. In other words, there was a cry or a message went forth. Told you what the bridegroom was saying. Go you out to meet. Go. You got to do something. Go to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Let me say a little bit about that. They all wore their hair right. and they're dressed right, went to church, listened to tape, read the books, watched the preacher, prayed. They trimmed their lamps. They were getting ready to do something. And the foolish said unto the wise, we missed one spot. Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They run out of oil. They were justified. They were sanctified, because sanctified what? Cleaned and set aside for service. They cleaned, trimmed the lamp. They cleaned everything up, but they did not go on to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, you know as well as I do that, as Brother Richard was preaching Sunday, most of your foolish virgins are going to come out of this message, because they're virgins. They're not contaminated with that denominational stuff out there. But what happened? They sat in a message church where the pastor told them, well, just believe your Brother Brown was a prophet, and all you got to do is read one book and listen to two tapes a week, and you're fine. Because they're foolish. They had to be led by somebody that was foolish. That's why I tell you, we teach the baptism of the Holy Ghost in three stages. You got to be justified. You got to be sanctified. A definite work of sanctification. Justification, sanctification. Because you know what sanctification is? Sanctification makes you feel good. Makes you want to go to church. The unclean spirit's gone out. Right? According to Luke, the unclean spirit has left you. And you're feeling good. You're feeling religious. You try to stay awake during the service. I said try. Some don't try. But you understand what I mean. They're virgins though. They think they got it. And they are clean as they can be. Right? Because they're foolish virgins. They're virgins. But the wise have went on to purchase the oil. I said purchase. Yeah, you got to purchase the oil. You got to want it more than the next guy beside you wants it. You got to want it more than the store you get it from's got it. But listen, that storeroom will never run out of oil. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is for everybody. It's just the ones that want it and the ones that don't. Give us your oil. For our lamps are gone out. We've tried to live this thing. We've tried to not do this. We've tried to not do that. And that's your problem. You tried to not do this and you tried. You took that one word and you took yourself out. You tried. Let God do it. Because when that unclean spirit goes out of you, walks in dry places, seeketh rest, findeth none. He's going to come right back into your house.
That's right.
And the Bible doesn't say it's even your house. It says it's his house. And finding it swept and garnished. The TV's gone out the door. The dresses are down. The men's not drinking and smoking. He sees all that and he says, I think I'll give them a religious spirit. If they want to go to church, I'll let them go to church if they want to. If they want to be a message believer, go right ahead. That's okay. Press play all you want to. Not according to the Bible, though. They're not going all the way. They're doing some of it. They're doing some of it. But the Bible says in Ephesians that he gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists for what? The perfecting. Knowing how to get your oil and keep it lit so it won't go out.
Right. Amen.
But the wise answered saying, not so. You've been sitting in church 13, 14 years. What's your problem? Oh. Right. Lest there be not enough for us and you.
Yeah.
Listen, it's a personal experience with God. You want to give the new birth to everybody you can, but you can't give it to everybody that don't want it.
That's right.
Tell them and tell them and tell them. Lest there be not enough for us and you, but go you rather to them that sell. Find you somebody that's got some oil that can sell it to you and buy it for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage and the door was shut. Remember that door was open in heaven in Revelation 4? They went up through the door. Well, who shut the door on the ark? God shut the door on the ark. So God's going to shut the door on the Gentile dispensation, and these that were left out, afterwards came the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You see the dispensation. He didn't say Son of God. He said the Son of Man dispensation is when this is going to all happen.
Amen.
So if you don't get in that dispensation, then you're going to be left out.
Yeah.
Everybody okay with that? Maybe strong, but you know what? I'm sorry. Let's go to the... Can y'all pull up the 70 weeks of Daniel chart? Y'all stay with me today. I know it's a little warm in here. I had a cheeseburger today. I'm okay. All right, let's go. Yeah, there you go. Let's go to right here. I know that, look, don't worry about it. Brother Bob just filled this thing full of good stuff. And if you want one of them, I guess they can send you one. But Brother Bob just, we just kept adding stuff. It wasn't Brother Bob's fault, but he's the one that put this chart together. But we're right here in the last church age, right? So what's going to happen is that we are going to take a rapture or a catching away or a wise virgin is going to leave this place. And then what's going to happen is God's going to start dealing with the Jews, right? I'm going to slow down just a minute. God's going to start dealing with the Jews, but he's not going to ever deal with Gentiles again. Got it? The one I just read you here, the wise virgin, were all, that was a Gentile bride. Even the foolish virgin, but remember they weren't bride. They didn't get married because they didn't go with the bridegroom. The bridegroom called, but they some way did not become bride because they never were married because he said, I knew you not.
Yeah.
Everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
All right. So now what's going to happen is we're going to be caught up into another dimension. And it's not so much up. We're just going to step over into a faster dimension.
Amen.
Because
right.
That's where they're at now.
Yeah. Right.
They're in a faster dimension.
Right.
Okay. The ones that have went on. They're going to come back into this dimension. And then according to this chart, according to the other chart too, when we take a rapture, then what happens is the tribulation is going to start, the wrath of God is going to start on the world because it's a Gentile world. So God's going to start the tribulation on them first. Not the Jews yet, because he's got to go over there to the Jews and he's got to preach to them 3.5 years. Before the Battle of Armageddon, he's got to preach 3.5 years, the 1260 days through the two prophets. He's got to preach to them. And while he preaches to them, you and I are enjoying a marriage supper of 3.5 years.
Amen.
You know, don't get tied up what we're going to eat or where we're going to be, okay? Just please make it. The menu will be given to you when you need it. Anyway. Matthew 24, verse 21. Sometimes we get hung up on some things like that, but it doesn't matter to me. We're going to have communion today. Maybe we'll just have communion for 3.5 years. It doesn't matter. All right, let's go to Matthew 24. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. Now, this is Matthew 24. Jesus is just getting finished preaching the seals. Hello? Matthew 24. You see all this? 24 all the way through? Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake. That's me and you. Those days shall be shortened. All right, let's go to Revelation 2, verse 20. It said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication. Now, he's not talking about natural. This is spiritual fornication. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
And seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I give her a space to repent. Now, this is in the church ages, but it's what he's prophesying. And she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, we're not talking about natural adultery, we're talking about spiritual adultery, we're talking about denominational ideas, we're talking about something that's contrary to the word of God.
Yes.
Amen?
Right.
cast her that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And we know that they do not. All right? Matthew 17. Because look, when you say great tribulation, listen, tribulation worketh patience, and we have tribulation in our own life, but you will not ever go through the great tribulation, because the great tribulation is the wrath of God. And it will be because there's no, listen, what's keeping this world alive right now is the Holy Ghost that's inside you.
Amen.
What's keeping this world halfway, no, a tenth of sanity, because the other nine-tenths is not. The tenth of sanity that's left, what's not letting this world break into create into chaos is you and me. Because the Holy Ghost is on the earth protecting the bride. But when she leaves, there's only going to be 144,000 people that are born again. Everybody else is going to be what? They're going to worship the beast. Whoa. That's why you don't want to be here. That's why, see, the bride don't go through that. The church will, because the church only went so far and didn't take the full word of God. But the bride, why would you let your bride go through tribulation? Oh, we're going to wedding supper. I'm going to take you over to Germany and put you in a concentration camp for our honeymoon. Now that would be a horrible husband, right? God's not going to do that. He's going to rapture us out of here. And then he's going to let, like I said, all hell break loose here on earth. Amen. Because there's nothing to hold it back. There's nothing to hold back the wrath of God except me and you sitting here today and all the bride around the world. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias, talking with him. Brother Bram's talking about the second coming. Because there stood Jesus, the second coming of Christ, and there stands the two witnesses that he's going to let them go to Israel. And do what? He's going to take the veil off of the eyes of the Jews so that they'll accept. Because see, they're already looking for this guy. They asked Jesus, why must Elias first come? Well, Malachi 4 says he's got to come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. The only problem is they missed them comings of Elijah. So God's going to send them the spirit of Elijah, and they'll give them a bonus. They're going to send Moses over there. And they're going to call 144,000. Let's go to Revelations 11:3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man hurt them, fire. Now look, fire, they're not going to be like a flamethrower. It's going to be the word that they preach. And that's what's happening now. Flame of fire. Every time you hear the inspired word of God, it's a flame of fire. Because what does it do? It burns out what you got problems with. Doesn't do anything to the outside person. Doesn't burn you on the outside. Burns me on the inside. And when I get burned on the inside, it just makes the outside guy do the right thing. That's just really simple. And if any man will hurt them, fire. Because see, they got the Holy Ghost. God's not going to send two prophets over there without the Holy Ghost. Amen. So they're going to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But now remember, remember position. They'll not be bride. God is going to promise to go pick up that 144,000 because he promised never to forget Israel. He's not going to leave her here. He's going to give her that space of 3.5 years. Listen, thank God he didn't give us just 3.5 years because we'd be so far behind. How many years you been here? What if you just took the first 3.5 years you were here? We'd be here still. I mean, still the next time and the next year and the next year and the next year. But see, he's only going to give them 3.5 years and they're going to so know what's going on. Watch. They have power to shut the heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. We know that's Elijah. Have power over water, turn them to blood, smite the earth with all plagues as often as he will. We're going to read the sixth seal in a minute because Brother Brown tells us about the two prophets in the sixth seal. When they shall have finished their testimony, the beast is what? The beast is going to pop up and kill them both. There's going to be a special anointing on them because of the word of God for 1260 days. They're going to prophesy. Nothing can touch them. Not a person, not a man, not an atomic bomb. Nothing can touch those two prophets. I want a little bit of that anointing right now. I want a little, I don't want them to have it all. I'd like to have a little bit of that now. And when they shout, and you too, you should have it. Keep you awake. And he's going to kill them. So now let's go to Daniel 12 verse 7. And heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he had held up his hand, right hand and his left hand, he sware by him that liveth forever. Like I said Wednesday night, this is Daniel is the book of Revelations to the Jews. So this is basically the same scene that's in Revelations 10:7. It's just that remember, when he raises his hand in Revelations 10:7, time shall be no longer. That's me and you. But now remember, Israel has a certain length of time. 1260 days, that's all they got. So it'll be that it shall be for a time, times, and a dividing of time. 3.5 years, 1260 days, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. I said, oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Daniel's Lord, that's what, 4,000 years ago almost. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up, and sealed in a book. Now what happened when we come to the end time? What happened to that book? It got open. So we can see what that prophecy is all about. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise. What a promise. But the wise shall understand. Amen? The wise will understand. Go to 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now remember, in 70 weeks of Daniel, there's 70 weeks, which is 490 years. Is everybody, I know some maybe not, but that's okay. We'll get to it maybe later again. Loop back over it again. 70 weeks, because a week equals 7 years. If you look in your Bible, in Genesis, Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel and Leah, it said fulfill her week. So 1 week equals 7 years. So 70 weeks, which is 490 years. God is going to give them 490 years to repent and turn back to God. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. All right. So now 483 years is already over with. Back then, we'll get to that later. So there's 7 years left after the rapture. Because listen, this can only happen after the rapture takes place, because remember, God don't deal with us and the Jews at the same time. We're gone. We're out of here. And then God goes to them to give them their redemption, preaches 3.5 years to do 6 things. But look at the first three. Finish the transgression. What do you do with you? Make an end of sin. What do you do to you? Make reconciliation for iniquity. What do you do to you? He justified you. He sanctified you, and he filled you with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. That's what they're going to get preached to in that 3.5 years, and then what's going to happen in the second part of the week is this right here. Brings in everlasting righteousness. We'll get to that later. Seal up the vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy, because this is right at the millennium is going to start right here. Because it's going to take 70 full weeks to bring Israel back to their condition of redemption. Okay, 70 weeks, 490 years. Everybody got that? Alright, so let's go to number 3. Brother Brown takes this in order. Then when the church is taken up, Moses and Elijah appears in Revelation 11. Alright, when the church. Now, that's bride. The bride. You have to see what he's talking about. Remember, that's 1953. It was 1963 when I said, I now call you bride. He knew the difference in the bride and the church. Because there's a difference in the bride and the church. But you can use them. Listen, a church can be a church. A bride can be a church. But the church can't be the bride. Do I need to add that up again? I don't know if I can say that again. But do you understand what I mean? A church is a church. The bride can be the church. But the church can't be the bride. All right, which is just regular church, which was the foolish virgins, the ones that don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right, look, Moses and Elijah appears in Revelation 11, and what preaches Jesus Christ to them? And the Holy Spirit's took from the Gentiles. Now look, it's not took away from us.
Amen.
We're gone out of here.
Yes.
There's no more Holy Ghost for it. Listen, the prophet even tells it, even the people are still going to go to church. They're going to think they're getting the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they, sanctification, they think that's the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry. The Holy Ghost took from the Gentiles. The rapture comes for the church or bride to be taken away. And the Jews that's left here will be preached for 3.5 years because he said there'll be 70 weeks still determined on thy people. Messiah will be cut off in between. He's talking about the 1 week of Messiah ministry, 3.5 years before that Jesus preached, and then 3.5 he's going to preach through the two witnesses. When he's taken away, the Gentiles will be given a place. Then they get three. I need to read a little more. They'll get 3.5 years to be preached to of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Zechariah 12, verse 10. And I will pour it out upon the house of David, what that's Jews, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Didn't 70 weeks are determined to do what? Bring Jews back and the city. You got to have the Jews and the city. All right? So in the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Who was that? Jesus Christ. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one in his bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadrimmon in the valley of Megiddon, which is Armageddon.
Right.
Zechariah 13, verse 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall say, those which I was wounded in the house of my prince. Friends, they're going to preach Jesus Christ so much 3.5 years till they're going to realize they killed the Messiah 2,000 years ago. And they're going to be in trouble. But what did Joseph say? Don't worry. This was done to preserve you. This was done to preserve life. This was done, in other words, look, this is what God's telling them. This is done because I promised you I'd come back and get you. I've already took the bride. You missed that part. But I've come back to get you because I promised I'd never forget you. What a mighty God we serve. All right, Revelation 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. Now remember, we are not here when this happens. Because this is the great tribulation. Everybody got that? We are not here. But we got to show this to place where this is where the church has got to go through. Not the bride. There was a great earthquake and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth. Sounds like kind of a nuclear thing, doesn't it? Even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together. Y'all ever notice when they set off a atomic bomb, what happens? Look at the mushroom. It rolls open. Right? Folks, this, we know one thing's for sure. Like I said, again, thank God for a prophet. He said there would be no atomic bomb hit the earth until the bride's gone. So you can, whatever you want to say, if you see an atomic bomb go off, call Brother Dale, he won't be there. Because we'll be gone. But the heavens departed as a scroll, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. Wow. Every island, every mountain. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. And from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able? Who shall be able to stand? Wow. That's pretty tough. So now let's go to the first chart. Not the Daniel 70 week chart. Let's go to the first chart. We'll stop here in just a minute. And take communion. Okay. So now where are we? Slide. Can you slide? There you go. We're almost getting to the future home. All right, the rapture, all born again believers. Everybody see that? All born again believers going to rapture. Right here. All right. Then there's 3.5. There's 1260 days. Two prophets, according to Revelation 11:3-13. They're going to preach 1260 days. And then what's going to happen? Now remember, during this time right here is the tribulation period to the Gentile world. Because those two prophets, the Bible says they can bend nature. They can make this do this way. Well, they're the cause of when the sixth seal opens. Brother Brown said, who opens the sixth seal? The two prophets. They'll open that seal by it being able to call fire and all these different things. Because I want you to think about something really quick. And then we'll read a couple more quotes and stop. Because we stop right here, we should be okay. And we'll continue again. Because right here, look, when the rapture happens to us, there's 3.5 years. Tribulation's going to set in on the Gentiles. And the two prophets are going to preach to the Jews. And then what's going to happen when they get finished preaching? They're going to die. In other words, 144,000 is going to be killed. And so is the two witnesses are going to be killed. And the Bible says the whole world sees them. So CNN's there. Fox News, NBC, ABC, CBS. Because them two guys tormented the world for 1260 days. Every time they try to kill, what if you would try to kill? The Bible says in the way that they try to kill them is the way they're going to be killed. So they're going to send, you know they're going to send the CIA, the FBI, the FBLA, and all them other people over there. I know what FBLA is. I know it's Future Business Leaders of America. I know what that means. But I'm just saying, we're going to send all them LLAs and DDDs and all them others over there. What? They're going to try to kill them because they hate them. What if you tried for 3.5 years to kill two people? I'm talking about the whole world. They're going to send everybody. Even Israel's going to send them Assad. KGB. And they can't kill them for 3.5 years? Boy, when they do kill them, though, what's going to happen? They're going to lay in the streets. And what's going to happen? They're going to resurrect right in front of everybody's eyes. In front of the world. They're going to have the cameras on them the whole time. They'll cut away and say, well, we've got rid of these guys and they're going to do this. We're going to leave them laying there. Look at them. They're bloating. They're turning green. They're commentating. And all of a sudden they're going to go back and go, oh, they've resurrected. And then they're going to take a rapture. But let me tell you something, the difference between, remember, we'll cover it in a minute, or we'll cover it later. There's two battles. And then we'll stop right here. I'll read a few more. But remember, there's two battles. Everybody wake up just for a minute, please. Two battles. The Battle of Armageddon and the Battle of Gog and Magog. According to Revelation 20, verse 9. Now, there is differences in these two battles. And you need to understand both of them to when I keep going through here, you'll understand what I'm talking about. The Battle of Armageddon is going to be a natural battle. It's going to be nations against nation. It's going to be this one against that one. They're going to all converge on Jerusalem and they're going to start punching buttons. The Battle of Armageddon will be an atomic war. Now the Battle of Gog and Magog is a spiritual war. It's not an earthly battle. And it's not a battle that's going to do this and that. And it's not going to rain fire down. We read in the Bible, and many generations never saw nuclear war or what happened to it. But remember in the Battle of Armageddon, it says that man's flesh will come off of their body. While they're still alive. That's nuclear. That's nuclear war. That's the fallout and all the different things. But now not with this battle. This is going to be God and the devil and his spirits. And God's going to have to get rid of them. Because remember, the Battle of Armageddon doesn't kill Satan. The Battle of Armageddon doesn't kill his imps. Remember, they're what? Bound for 1,000 years. They're right down underneath here and they can't do anything. But they're going to raise up just one more time. But remember, this battle that's coming up will be a nuclear battle. A nuclear war between men. Because the prophet tells us, man always destroys himself. Okay? So let's read this right here just for a second. Revelation 7 verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth holding the four winds. Now, what are the four winds? Wars. All right? Holding the four winds of the earth that the wind should not blow on the earth nor on the sea nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom was given to hurt the earth and sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants. Now hold on. You and I are not servants. Thank God for a prophet again. We're children of God. We're sons and daughters. We're not servants. So who is that? Look, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees. Now look, all this is happening to the Gentile. But over there in Israel, God's got to call out 144,000 in 1260 days, and there's not all that chaos going on over there. Because he says, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. Because this is, you say, well, I don't know who that is. Well, you will right here. And I heard the number. Now, you're going to see numbers in the Bible, talks about multitudes, nations, ones that you can't number. That's Gentiles. People, nations. People you can't, so much of a number you can't number them. But remember, here Israel has numbers. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So who are they talking about? That's talking about the two witnesses going over preaching redemption to the 144,000, and they are saved. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000. Reuben, 12,000. Gad, 12,000. Asher, 12,000. Nephthalim, 12,000. Manasseh, 12,000. Simeon, 12,000. Levi, 12,000. Issachar, 12,000. Zebulun, 12,000. Joseph, 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. If you add all them up, you're going to get 144,000 every time. So that's who they're talking about. That's to the Jews then. Hurt not wherever they're at. They're over there in Israel now. That's what gets me. The biggest turmoil in the world is in Israel and Palestine and Hamas and all that, right? They're just blowing each other up almost. But during those 3.5 years, God's going to shift that thing out. And the world's going to start destroying each other. And it's going to then wind up in Israel, because Israel's going to have 3.5 years to preach to in not so much chaos. Because they got to hear, they got to get together, they got to hear the message. All right, now let's get this right here real quick. And then we'll finish. Then we'll take communion. Communion and foot washing. Daniel 9:27, and he shall confirm. Now look. Bring up the Daniel 70 weeks chart one more time before we... Everybody okay? I know it's hot. I know you're trying to go to sleep and you want to get out of here, but... This is important. Amen. If it's not important, you shouldn't have come. So, the 70 weeks of Daniel, push it back over that way a little bit. And I don't want it to be confusing, so watch. 70 weeks are determined. Alright, everybody got that? So there's a time it started, and they got 490 years to save Israel. Just to make it simple. Everybody got that? Alright, so now bring it back this way a little bit. So now Jesus is right here. He died right here on the cross. I'm old. I'm looking for these things. Fine. So right here is Calvary. And thank you for making it bigger. I'm just kidding. But 62 and 7 is 69. So 69 weeks has already happened. God, look, this is grace right here, folks.
Right. That's right.
Because, listen, without us... This right here should be jammed in right here. Everybody got that? That over there should be right here. And when Christ died, if they would have accepted him in the Jewish realm, there would have been no Gentiles.
Right?
But we've got grace now, knowing that he had to put them away because they put him on the cross. Well, we did. We know that. But they literally put him on the cross. Because they said, let his blood be on us and our children. And that's why God had to then chop it off right here. Give the Gentile bride time to come in. Thank God.
Amen.
That's me and you, folks. If not, that would have been right here. They would have took a rapture and it would have been millennium and been done with. Right? But God give, he separated because of grace and because of to get this bride out. He had to cut them off. Right? At Calvary, he started a Gentile dispensation. Now remember, that Gentile dispensation is going to end. So there's one more week left after the rapture to finish the 70 weeks of Daniel from here to over here where we're, it's not on the chart.
Right.
To bring it together, to finish it.
Right.
Everybody got that?
Right.
We're the ones that put that gap in there. God did for us. Then he's going to pick right back up. And what do you do? If they rejected his 3.5 year message over here, everybody with me? They rejected this 3.5 year message. The Jews did. And he's not going to let them perish. He's going to save them because he said he was. He's going to have to preach that same message right here.
Right.
Everybody got that? And then what really happens is this 3.5 year message we accepted, and that's what we've been living on for 2,000 years is a 3.5 year message of Jesus Christ. Amen? But they're only going to have 1,260 days, so he's going to have to send two prophets. What did the book of Amos say? He does nothing until what? He reveals it to the prophets. Okay. So we come over here, and we see that that message of Jesus Christ comes and lands in two prophets. They preach 3.5 years. They preach it so much to where they see the cross, and they see that, Lord of mercy, we've done something really awful, and God's going to destroy us. He said, no. He said, I know you didn't see the nails in my hand here, but through those two messengers, like I read it before, where did you get those scars? He said, in the house of my friends.
Amen.
He said, don't worry. He said, I'm going to take you up in a rapture then. Because the Bible says right here, and he shall confirm the covenant. This is Daniel 9:27. Don't go back to it. We've read this enough. And who's the he? Now listen, God doesn't make a covenant and break it, ever. When God makes a covenant, it's an everlasting, eternal covenant. Everybody got that? So this he is fixing to break the covenant, so who is this he? This he is the Antichrist, the beast, the Pope. Because let me ask you a question. I've got to cover this. We'll stand outside and talk for 2 hours. So we can talk in here if that's all right with y'all.
Yes.
All right. So the Gentile bride does what? She goes home. And then the Pope comes on the scene. But what has Israel been looking for this whole 2,000 years? In A.D. 70, Titus, a Roman general, destroyed Jerusalem to the ground. Remember in Matthew 24, they asked him three things. He said, there won't be a stone left on another. Well, that was when Titus, a Roman general, get that, Roman general, comes into Jerusalem. They shut the door and run into the temple. Of course, God's not there anymore. And they literally eat their own kids and the bark off the trees. Titus finally goes in and destroys and kills everybody that's in there, and the blood ran out the gate, right? But what did he take with him? He took something very important that's going to be connected to the end time. In AD 70, Titus destroyed the temple, took it apart, and took the menorah, took the Ark of the Covenant, took the laver, took all the purple curtains, took everything, and where did he take them to? He's a Roman general. He didn't take them to Italy. Common. He took it to Rome. So who has all, you know, the Temple Mount people are trying their best. And remember Brother Richard, we're talking, they've already got the, according to the, I can't remember the name of the article, they've already got the red heifer. The red heifer has been genetically modified in the United States Because the red heifer can only have like three colors away from the red heifer. They've got the red heifer ready. But what do they need? They need the menorah. They need the laver. And they need the ark. Right? Because see, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get all that back together because God told them in the Old Testament, if you'll get all that together, I'll meet you in that Holy of Holies. So the Temple Mount people are trying their best for 2,000 years. They've been trying to put the piece of the puzzle together. They don't have all the pieces. But they know who's got them. So when this Pope comes up and we leave this place, this Pope comes up, you know what the Pope? And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. What covenant is he going to give them? I'm going to give you your things back. But you got to do this for me. You got to release all your gold. You got to release all everything in the land of Israel to me. I'm going to give you your things. Because remember, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Now what's the sacrifice and oblation? They give him his ark back. They've given Israel their ark back. They're already making sacrifices. They're trying to get the Messiah here. But what's going to happen during that 3.5 years? There stands two prophets outside of this new temple they've built. What's going to make the people so mad that they kill 144,000 of their own people and two prophets? Because for 3.5 years, they're going to be putting this temple back together and they're going to be doing their cutting and they're going to be doing their sacrifices. And these two witnesses going to be standing outside the temple just like Jesus did and said, God's not in there. You've already killed the Lamb of God. You can sacrifice all you want to. And then 144,000 of their brethren are going to come out. And they're going to say, it's useless for you to put this temple together. Because I am the temple of God now. But now, who's also on the scene? The Pope's there. And he says, now, wait a minute. I'm the temple of God. Remember, the Bible says he wanted to be the temple of God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself to be what? As God. That's what's going to make everybody so mad right here. And when it does, the 144,000 and the two witnesses are going to be caught up. And then you're going to see tribulation like you've never seen before. That battle of Armageddon is going to be so bad. Till it's going to be no holes barred. So what's going to happen in the midst of the week? Cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate. You know what's going to happen? The Pope's going to walk into their temple. And he's going to say, I'm God. And they ain't going to like that. Cause he desecrates the temple. That's what he says. He says the overspreading. He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. In other words, he's telling them to quit. I'm him now. And them Jews ain't going to like that. Even the ones that turned the 144,000 down are not going to like that. And he shall make it desolate even until the consummation of that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. What's going to happen? In the midst of that 70th week, you say, Brother Wade, what happens over here? Well, you got to remember, a battle of Armageddon, a worldwide atomic battle, doesn't last just one day. It will be over a period of weeks or months before everybody's killed. And then there's no telling how many people is going to be killed because of radiation and all the different things. So you can carry that on. But there's something going to happen from here to here. There's going to be a millennial temple, and we'll cover it later on. There's going to be a temple built somewhere in here because that thing's got to be done at the end of that 70th week because the prophet of God tells us we're the anointing to the temple. We're the anointing to the temple. So they're going to build a temple because we don't know anything about temples because we're Gentiles. But they're going to build it and we're going to enter into that to anoint that temple for the 1,000 years of millennial reign. And I'll read you some more quotes later on. But the prophet of God tells us many, many times. He said they're going to absolutely hate these Jews, the 144,000. And then when they're caught up, listen, when they're caught up, there is zero Holy Ghost on the earth. Zero. I'm talking about all over the world. Listen, the bride's gone. 144,000 and the two witnesses. They get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're caught up in a rapture. They're gone. Who's left? Satan. The Pope. False prophet, beast, whatever you want to call them. They're just going to start destroying each other. And man has always destroyed their self. And they're going to keep pushing buttons and pushing buttons and pushing buttons until this world's going to be annihilated. When we come back into the millennium, I don't see why they won't be structured still here, because it's not going to be completely wiped off like it is the Battle of Gog and Magog. They may be this, you know, the shell of this church may still be here. But it's not going to bother us. We got the biggest bomb there ever was. Called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it's not going to harm us. Nuclear battle is not going to harm us if we come right back into the thing while it's going. But you know what? We're going to be carried away. We're going to be off in a safe place. Not going to have to worry about that. What about folks, you're standing and your flesh melts off your body before you die? The birds will eat you before you die. That's worldwide, but not for the bride. Why would God send you through that? But he is going to send a church through it, because the church turned him down. Amen? The church didn't get the Holy Ghost. The 10 virgins, 5 of them were wise, they went in the rapture. The 5 foolish ones, they did not, because they were foolish. Let's don't be foolish. Let's know that we know that we know that the new birth is in our soul. Not just something we think about, something we talk about, something we wonder about, and something we hope for. See, I'm not going to hope that I go to all that. I got to go to the white throne judgment and hope that I'm going to get saved. No, I don't think so, folks. You got to know that you know, and you got to know now. You will not get the Holy Ghost after the rapture takes place if you're a Gentile. Gentile church door is closed. Listen, when God closed the door in Noah's age, remember, Noah didn't close it. God closed the door and he decided when to close it. When he closed it, there was not one person ever got on that ark again. Not one. I'm sure I've told you many times before, I'll bet you there were claw marks on the outside of that door, people trying to get in. I bet you there was claw marks on that outside of that ark with people trying to get up into that ark. When the door was shut, not another Gentile was saved. I'm talking about us now. So let's stand to our feet. We'll just go ahead and go right on into communion if that's all right. If you have a need today, if you have a need today, it's already been met. And we have absolutely come to a place to where you can be healed standing in your seat. And you can be healed. We've seen people healed by taking communion. Because it's what? It's an ordinance of God. Ordained of God. An ordinance of God. And really it's a requirement of all born again believers. Because if you don't want to take communion, then why wouldn't you want to? Because you're participating in something God told you to participate in. Same way with foot washing. So let's go into the communion. So if you have a need today, let it be met while the communion is going on. Let it be met while the foot washing is going on. Okay? So let's read in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread, eat this bread, and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. In other words, we're going to give a moment of silence for you to clear the slate. Get everything out of the way. And then you can take communion. Because it says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Who's the Lord's body? Me and you. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That's pretty serious. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now see, that sets us apart right there. That sets the bride apart. We're not condemned with the world. If we come under the conditions of the new birth, we cannot be condemned with the world. That's what it says right here. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. I've been reading the history of Paul. And when Paul came up to the Corinthians, what happened was, is the only rooms that the Christians could use were usually people that were of wealth, that were wealthy and had these big homes and big houses. And they were just having parties. They'd bring a big feast and they'd bring all the wine and they'd just eat and they would carry on. And Paul had to rebuke them and say, no, you need to eat at home. This is a Lord's Supper. This is a solemn time. This is the time when we pray and we don't go through all that carrying on business. Because he said, if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together under condemnation. He was watching them do that, and he had to set them in order to make sure that they took communion. And it was a solemn time, and it was a time of reflection, and a time that we, what, enter in with the sufferings of Christ. He said, then the rest I will set in order when I come, when he head back to the Corinthians. So let's pray real quick, and then we'll break the bread. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that today now we move into another part of the service. Lord, this is a solemn time not to be playing. Because you said, Lord, if we discern it wrong, that many are weak and sickly among us and many sleep. Father, we don't want that to happen. We want us to be strong Christians, Lord. So, Lord, I pray anything that we've done, Lord, I pray that you bring it to any of our remembrance, Lord, and we promise we'll take care of it. Father, just give us this daily bread as we partake it. Forgive us of our sins and bless the ones that are with us, Lord, today in this house. As we think back 2,000 years ago that people would have to meet, Lord, in little places, maybe catacombs and all the different places for fear of the persecution. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we live in a free country, but Lord, we see that the reins are being tightened ever so much each day. And Lord, until you come, we're going to take this communion as much as we can, as possible as we can. And then Lord, we'll sit with you at a marriage supper and we'll take communion and we'll enjoy that time with you, Lord. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you for filling us with the Holy Ghost. And then thank you for bringing this message of the hour to our attention and where we can receive it, Lord. We thank you for that, Father. We ask you to just bless the people in this building. In Jesus' name we pray in the furtherment of this service. Amen. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it.